Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week, we have another treat from the Theater Guild on the air. We have an excellent adaptation of one of the great dramatic classics of the theater, A Doll's House by Henrik Ibsen. This one-hour version is well-written and the acting is exceptional, starring Dorothy McGuire and Basil Rathbone. Enjoy Theater Guild on the Air, A Doll's House, first broadcast January 19th, 1947 on ABC.
United States Steel, USS, the industrial family that serves the nation, presents the Theater Guild on the Air. Our stars, Dorothy McGuire and Basil Rathbone. The play, Henrik Ibsen's A Doll's House, produced on the air tonight by the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers. Every day, everywhere, you are served by products of steel. In your home, in your business, in your travel. The trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. And now, from the stage of the Syria Mosque in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, before an audience of nearly 4,000 employees, the United States Steel Corporation brings you Henrik Ibsen's great drama, A Doll's House. And here is Roger Pryor for the Theater Guild with a word about tonight's play.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight, the Theater Guild on the Air is privileged to present Dorothy McGuire and Basil Rathbone in Henrik Ibsen's immortal drama, A Doll's House, before this large audience of employees of United States Steel. In addition to our play, you'll hear as a special feature the male chorus of the Homestead Steelworks here in Pittsburgh, and we're going to tell you more about them later. In tonight's play, A Doll's House, the role of Nora will be played by the brilliant young stage and motion picture star Dorothy McGuire. Co-starred as Helmar is Basil Rathbone, distinguished actor in pictures, the radio, and on the stage. A Doll's House was written by a great Norwegian, Henrik Ibsen. Like all literature that lives, it has a quality of universality. It tells of problems in human relations that are both timely and timeless. Now let's raise the curtain on A Doll's House, starring Dorothy McGuire and Basil Rathbone. In the city of Christiania, capital of Norway, about the year 1880, a young woman is hurrying home from her Christmas shopping, loaded with presents for her husband and children. Her name is Nora. She arrives at the apartment house, goes quickly to a ground floor apartment, and struggles with her key.
Nora?
Torvald? Look, isn't it wonderful?
Oh, my little sweetheart, how can you carry all those bundles?
Here, help me. That's it.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, Torvald, what a time I've had. Are the children still in their room?
Yes, they've been very obedient.
Oh, good. Then I can hide these packages away before... Oh, look, Torvald, a sword for Ivar.
Oh, really?
And here a trumpet for Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And a doll in a cradle for Emmy.
My word. Has my little Spencer been making the money fly again?
Of course, Torvald. Surely we can launch out a little now. It's the first Christmas we haven't had to pinch.
But we can't afford to squander.
Oh, yes, Torvald. Do let us squander a little. Just the least little bit, won't you? You know you'll be soon earning heaps of money.
After the new year, yes.
Well, we can borrow in the meantime.
My darling little feather brain.
Don't call me that. Don't scold me, Torvald. Just now at Christmas time.
Look, suppose I did borrow a 1,000 kroner today and...
All right, Torvald. I'll just hide these things in the cabinet here.
And suppose you spent it all during Christmas and then on New Year's Eve a tile blew off the apartment house roof and knocked my brains out.
Hush, how can you talk so horribly?
But suppose that were to happen.
If anything so dreadful happened, it would be the same to me whether I was in debt or not. Hand me that sword, Torvald.
But what about our creditors?
Who cares about them? They're only strangers.
Oh, Nora. What a woman you are.
There. The presents will be safe there. Oh, and now let's sit down.
Mm. But seriously, Nora, you know my principles on these points.
Oh, yes, Torvald. Now here in your big chair.
No debts. No borrowing. Home life is no longer free and beautiful when it's founded on debt.
I know. Here are your slippers, Torvald.
Yes. We two have held out bravely for many years. We are not going to give in now.
As you please, Torvald.
Now, don't droop your wings, my little lark. Here, sit on the arm of my chair.
All right, Torvald.
See how your little face glows from the misty air. My sweet Nora, give me a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
My darling child. How you sparkle when you smile. Have you remembered to keep away from macaroons and candy, as I told you?
You mean so my teeth will stay nice and white?
That's right.
I haven't forgotten what you said.
That's a good little wife. Very bad. Macaroons.
Mm. Are you comfortable, Torvald?
Yes. Nora, what do you suppose I have here in my hand for you?
Money.
I know there will be extra household expenses during Christmas. So, there.
40 kroner. Oh, this will go a long way, Torvald.
I should hope so.
Oh, yes, this will make things much easier.
I thought it would.
Oh, Torvald, I hadn't a chance to tell you. We're having a guest.
Oh, what?
Tonight and during Christmas.
Oh, Dr. Rank, you mean?
Oh, no, of course he'll be here. But an old friend I met while shopping, Christina Linden. She's just come back to town.
I don't recall the name.
Didn't I ever tell you about her? Years ago, she went away to marry a man she didn't love, to support her sick mother and her brother. And now, at last, her husband's dead and she's free again. So she's come back. Christina's had such an unhappy life. So, when I saw her, I asked her to come here at once.
Well, you did a good deed, my lark. She's welcome.
And I was wondering. Christina's terribly good at accounts and office work. She's had heaps of experience. And Torvald, she's very anxious to work under a first-rate man of business.
Very sensible idea.
So, I was wondering, when you take over the bank next month...
Oh, I see.
Could you find a place for her?
Well, it happens I may have to make a change or two. And if she's as good as you say she is, perhaps.
Oh, thank you, Torvald. It'll be a wonderful Christmas surprise for her.
And we'll have a talk with her.
Oh, Torvald, how good you are.
Now, but look now. I want to know what you want for Christmas. What shall I buy for my little wife?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, out with it. Come, something sensible.
Well, if you really...
A new warm muff?
You might give me...
Some high-button shoes.
Money. Just give me money.
But, Nora...
Oh, please, please. We can hang it in a bright-colored envelope on the Christmas tree. Won't that be fun?
Why, sweetheart, you're like a child.
Don't say that. It's really very sensible, Torvald.
If you don't go frittering it away on housekeeping...
Oh, I won't. And then later I'll buy something I really need.
Then shall we say another 20 kroner?
Oh, thank you, Torvald. And now... Oh, I forgot. I have to go out again.
Again? Not this time?
Now, you sit still and smoke your pipe. I have to go to the bakery.
The bakery?
For something for supper. I'll only be a few minutes, Torvald. You just sit still.
Now, wrap up well. It's starting to snow.
I will, Torvald. I'll be right back.
Ah, Mrs. Helmer.
Mr. Krogstad here, 25 kroner.
Uh-huh.
Right on time, too.
Quite so. I was expecting you. Would you come into my room a moment, please?
Oh, no, thank you. Just give me the receipt and I'll go.
I want to talk to you.
Well, there's nothing to talk about, is there? The payments are on time.
I must talk with you. Remember, I can make it very unpleasant for you, Mrs. Helmer.
But I have to get home to arrange supper. I told my husband I was going to the bakery.
Into the room, please.
Oh, very well. But whatever it is, please say it quickly.
Something has happened about which you can help me.
You have no claims on me. By next year, everything will be paid up and I'll be free at last of this whole thing.
Your husband, I understand, is to become manager of the joint stock bank on New Year's Day.
How does that concern you?
Perhaps you didn't know, but for the last 8 months, I have held a small position in that bank.
You have?
My first step toward recovering my reputation.
Well?
Well, I suppose you, like everyone else, know that some years ago, I got into trouble.
I've heard something about it.
The matter never came to court, but from that day, all doors were closed to me. So I had to take up the kinds of work you know about. Arranging confidential loans, supplying information to journalists.
Well?
Mrs. Helmer, my sons are growing up now. For their sakes, I must try to win back my good name. The place in the bank was my first step. There's nothing I wouldn't do to hang on to it.
Mr. Krogstad, If you are now working for my husband, it might be well to treat me with more respect. Please let me go.
You imply you have influence with your husband.
Of course.
I asked you to use it.
What do you mean?
I was told today that your husband is planning to drop me.
What makes you think that?
Please see that I keep my small position.
Oh, how could I possibly influence my husband?
You just said...
But not in a thing like this.
Why not? Mrs. Helmer, please understand, I don't merely ask. I insist.
I'm not afraid of you. I'll soon be paid up.
Suppose your husband were to learn your secret after all these years.
What good would it do you?
That's not the question. You seem to forget that there are things about this loan that would look very strange if examined in court.
What are you talking about?
I think you understand.
I don't know what you mean.
Mrs. Helmer, the matter of my position must be settled before it goes too far. At 9 o'clock this evening, I will be in the tavern restaurant across from your apartment house, waiting for you to bring me news that my position is safe.
But...
9 o'clock, Mrs. Helmer. I advise you to be there.
Wonderful to settle down to coffee after children are all in bed.
Wonderful.
It's so peaceful in your home, Nora. Such a lovely home.
Thank you, Christina. More coffee, Dr. Rank?
No, thank you, my dear.
It's too bad Torvald had to go to his study to work.
Oh, he's been doing that almost every evening after supper. He retires with his bank papers and pores over them, reorganization and all that. He wants to be all ready with his plans when he takes over the management.
Work, work, work. So you'll be doing it too next month, Mrs. Linden.
Well, one has to live.
That seems to be the general impression.
But surely you want to live yourself, Dr. Rank.
Oh, yes. No matter how wretched I may feel, I want to drag on as long as possible. And all my patients seem to have the same mania. Mm. What is the matter, Nora?
Hmm? Oh, how do you mean?
You keep looking around so hectically, glancing at the clock and the window.
Oh, well, do you wonder I'm excited? The bright, clear night and the snow on the ground. Oh, it's going to be the most wonderful Christmas ever. Which reminds me, where is that little package?
A package?
Here. Dr. Wright, will you have a macaroon?
Oh, dear. I thought macaroons were contraband in this house.
Yes, but Christina brought these to me.
What?
Oh, well, don't be frightened, Christina. You couldn't possibly have known that Torvald had forbidden them.
Nora.
My teeth, you know. Oh, but bother, just for once. Mm,
very good.
You too, Christina?
Oh, thank you, Nora.
And I'll have one at the same time. Only a tiny one. Or at the most, two or three.
Oh, they're delicious.
Dear, I am happy. To think that we'll soon have heaps of money and be able to buy all sorts of things we want.
You are lucky, Nora. And so am I now.
Well, it's time for me to leave you two fortunate young people and be off home.
So soon, Dr. Rank?
Yes. Someone almost falling apart with frightening symptoms. This is a good time to retire to bed.
Here, let me help you in your greatcoat.
Oh, thank you, Nora. Mrs. Linden, I'm happy to have met you at last. I've heard so much about you from Nora. And now we've met. Good night.
Good night, Doctor.
Now, bundle up well and close your collar.
That's right. Help me hang together a little while longer.
Pat, what a way to talk. Good night, Dr. Rank. See you tomorrow.
Yes, of course. I'll be in. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Is he really so ill?
Oh, yes. They say his father led a simply terrible life, so that Dr. Rank has never been strong. He's having some trouble with his spine.
The sins of the fathers?
I'm afraid so. Oh, he's such a dear friend of ours. Almost every afternoon he drops in during his rounds for coffee. And he's often here evenings, too, chatting with Torvald. He's very close to us.
Nora?
Yes?
What's wrong? There is something troubling you, isn't there?
Oh, Christina, it's awful.
Well, can't you tell me, your old friend?
No. Still, I've got to tell someone. And I can't tell Torvald.
Why not?
At least not yet.
Nora, surely there aren't things you can't speak of to your husband. That's the way my marriage became something ugly and unbearable.
Oh, I know. Poor Christina.
Don't let yourself make that mistake.
Dear Christina, here you've had such troubled years, and now I worry you about my trouble.
Why not? Mine are over.
Are they?
Well, in a way. Now that my mother and husband are dead and my brother at work, I suppose I'm free. Only very empty inside. But you, Nora, how can you be unhappy? Your life is so full and... Nora, look out this window.
Yes?
That man who just passed by.
Oh, what about him?
His head turned this way for a moment as he went by the street lamp. Was that a man called Krogstad?
Oh, I think so. You know him?
I used to. Quite well. Very well.
Oh.
How changed he looked. His reputation is not too good now, is it?
Oh, some unhappy event in his life turned him wrong, I think. And his marriage was unhappy also.
He's a widower now?
Yes.
Well, how has he earned his living?
Various strange ways. He used to be a lawyer, but that's all over.
Oh, poor man. Kind of moral wreck, I suppose.
Mm.
Well, it's been a long, full day for me, Nora. I really should be getting to bed.
Well, then, I'll just go into your room with you a moment and make sure everything's all right.
You needn't, Nora.
Oh, yes, I'd better. Come. I hope you'll be all right in here, Christina.
Oh, it's a lovely room.
Well, the bed's comfortable, and there's a nice view out there.
Yes, the river. And the old church clock.
What time is it?
A little after 9.
Oh.
Nora, what is troubling you? Is it the way Torvald teased you at dinner about being such a spendthrift? You always were a little reckless that way, you know. I remember...
You look on me as a child, don't you?
Well, I suppose it's just that you've lived such a sheltered life.
You think so?
Well, haven't you?
Torvald thinks of me as a child, too. He's always thought of me as a kind of talking doll to do tricks for him, and I've always been glad to play that role because I love him so. Only...
Only what?
I'm not a child, Christina. And you'd be surprised to learn what troubles I've had, and not the toy troubles you would imagine.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nora. I didn't mean...
Christina, you're proud because you sacrificed yourself for your sick mother and brother.
I did my duty, even though it finished other things in my life.
I, too, had a great decision to make once, and I made it. I saved Torvald's life.
How?
7 years ago, just after Ivar was born. Oh, we were very hard up, and Torvald overworked himself terribly and became dangerously ill. The doctors told me he would have to go south or he would die.
You went to Italy for a year,
yes,
didn't you?
And it saved him.
Well, it was lucky you could afford to go.
We didn't have a penny.
But didn't I hear that your father gave you the money?
And that's what everyone thought. So did Torvald, or he never would have gone. He felt he had to work on and on. Father died just about then, so Torvald never learned the truth. But Father had nothing.
Then where did you get the money?
I found a way. 1,200 kroner.
But that's a fortune.
It had to be. He had to rest for a year without worries. The doctors insisted on it.
How did you manage it?
Oh, I suppose I got it from an admirer.
Nora, don't tease me.
Well, when one is as attractive as I am...
Nora, have you been a trifle rash?
Is it rash to save your husband's life?
You couldn't have borrowed it.
Why not?
A wife can't borrow without her husband's consent.
Oh, if she knows a thing or two about business.
But is this what's worrying you, Nora? Haven't you been able to meet the payments?
Oh, yes, I have. Though you don't know how difficult it's been. All through the years, I've had to save from housekeeping. Every time Torvald gave me 10 kroner for a dress, I spent only 3. The rest I put aside to meet those terrible payments. And every 3 months, I paid up.
And Torvald never suspected.
Never. I lied and lied and lied, and he's never known.
But why on earth don't you tell him now?
Oh, no, Christine, I can't.
But you must.
Oh, when he has such a loathing of debt. Oh, no. Besides... How painful it would be for Torvald, with all his self-reliance, to know that he owed me anything. It would spoil the whole relationship between us.
But to deceive him this way...
That's how it has to be.
But you must tell him, Nora, and get it off your mind.
There's something else.
What?
Something about the loan contract.
Well, what is it?
Some hold the man has. I wish I was sure just what he plans to... That's the back door.
It's awfully late for tradesmen.
Oh, it's Christmas. There are late deliveries. Christmas surprises.
Oh, I see.
Good night, Christina.
You're sure you don't want me to stay up with you, Nora?
Oh, no, no.
You're sure now?
Of course not. You're tired.
All right.
See you in the morning.
Good night.
Sleep well, Christina. Mr. Krogstad.
Yes.
Why do you come here?
I waited for word.
I couldn't speak to him. He went into his study to work. We had guests and I...
Mrs. Helmer, I don't think you realize how urgent this is.
Oh, I know, I know.
For me, it's a life and death matter. And for you, it may be even more important.
What do you mean?
Let me explain.
Oh, please. Not so loudly. My husband...
I've got to speak to you. Let me come in.
No.
Mrs. Helmer.
All right. Talk quietly, please. Come inside. Now, what is it?
Mrs. Helmer, a number of years ago, you and I signed a contract.
Well?
I had it here.
Yes?
You were in a very nervous state at the time.
My husband was close to death. I was desperate.
I know. But, Mrs. Helmer, you recall that I wrote into the contract the part where your father had to sign as security?
Well, didn't he?
Did he? I remember you mailed the contract to him at once, so you told me. And you must have, because only 5 days later you brought it back to me, properly signed and dated.
Of course. Well...
Now, here is the remarkable thing. Soon afterwards, I read in the paper of your father's death. Then I realized, Mrs. Helmer, that your father signed this contract and dated it in the same handwriting 2 days after his death.
Did he perhaps make a mistake about the date?
I don't think so. Knowing when you sent him the contract, I'd say he would have received it just about this date, if he'd been alive.
What do you mean?
Only that a court would examine this signature with curiosity.
Mr. Krogstad, of course my father didn't sign it. He was ill, near death, it turned out. I couldn't burden him with our troubles. I signed it for him.
Do you know what you're admitting?
It was a technicality. I did nothing wrong.
It was just such a technicality that brought me to ruin.
I saved my husband's life. Is there anything wrong with that? If there is, then there's something wrong with the law.
The law takes no account of motives, Mrs. Helmer.
I saved my family. My father was on his deathbed, and I spared him anxiety. I'm sure you'll find somewhere that the law allows that. You ought to know that, Mr. Krogstad. You a lawyer.
I may not be a very good lawyer, but I do know this.
Nora. Mr. Krogstad, please go.
Mrs. Helmer, if I lose my place at the bank and am flung back into the gutter a second time...
Nora!
Coming, Torvald!
You will go, too.
Please hurry.
So save us, Mrs. Helmer.
Nora!
Good night.
Nora!
Yes, Torvald?
I was just ready to go to bed, and I thought I heard... Who went out the back door?
No one.
No one? Isn't that Nils Krogstad hurrying by outside there?
Oh.
Wasn't he in here talking to you? Wasn't he?
Oh, he was here for a moment, Torvald.
What for?
Why, he...
Come on. I can guess. He's been begging you to put in a word for him, hasn't he? I mean, about his position.
Yes, that's it.
And you were to do it as if it were your own idea. Wasn't that it?
Yes, Torvald.
Nora, I'm surprised at you that my little lark should even listen to such a request and then to deceive me about it.
Deceive you?
Didn't you say there was no one here? Oh. Well, we'll say no more about it, my little Nora. Come, it's time to turn in now. It's already 10 minutes past our bedtime.
Would you like a glass of soda water first, Torvald? I have it already here in the pantry.
All right, very well.
Torvald?
Yes?
I'm terribly excited about the fancy dress ball New Year's Eve.
I'm anxious to see what costume you're going to surprise me with.
Oh, I'm too tiresome.
What is?
Everything I can think of is so foolish. Mm-hmm. I thought you might help me decide what I should be.
Is my little sweetheart at a loss and running to her husband for help?
Oh, well, of course.
Well, I'll think about it. Perhaps by tomorrow morning we'll have a suggestion.
Oh, thank you. Torvald, don't you think you should keep Mr. Krogstad on?
I can't possibly.
But Torvald, to him it means...
I know. A chance to rehabilitate himself.
That's right.
But a bank is not a rehabilitation society. The old management was much too soft-hearted in giving him a chance. His work has been good, but a man with his record, it's impossible.
What did he do?
Do?
Long ago, I mean.
It was forgery. You know what that means.
Was he perhaps driven to it by me?
Oh, possibly. Or he may have done it thoughtlessly. I wouldn't absolutely condemn a man for a single fault.
No, surely not.
If he admits his crime and takes his punishment.
Crime?
But Krogstad resorted to tricks and evasions. That's what has morally ruined him.
Do you really believe then?
Just think how a man like that must always be lying and deceiving, even to his own family. He must constantly wear a mask. It's worse for the children.
How?
Because a dust cloud of lies soon poisons the whole home. Every breath the children draw has a germ of evil.
Are you sure?
I have been told that nearly all cases of early corruption may be traced to lying fathers and mothers, especially mothers who lie.
Why, mothers?
It generally comes from the mother's influence, though, of course, the fathers may act in the same way. Well, very good soda water. Come, dear.
Yes, Torvald.
I'll bolt the door, and I'd better look at the mailbox. I don't believe I unlocked it this evening. Just a moment.
Merciful God. What have I done? Lies. Poisoning my home. Corrupting my children. Oh, no. No, that must never be. Never be.
You are listening to Dorothy McGuire and Basil Rathbone in A Doll's House, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here, speaking for United States Steel, is George Hicks.
Good evening. I'm speaking to you tonight from the stage of the huge Syria Mosque Auditorium here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In the audience are some 4,000 members from the Pittsburgh branch of the United States Steel Corporation's national family of over 275,000 employees. These Pittsburgh members of the U.S. Steel family are a good cross-section of U.S. Steel employees all over the nation. They're good workers and good citizens in their communities. They like to do things in their communities. They like to do them working together. They also like to get together for good, typical American group recreation. They have a tremendous variety of sports activities, and teams from the various U.S. Steel subsidiaries in the Pittsburgh area compete mighty vigorously in softball, basketball, baseball, and bowling. Practically all of the plants have singing groups, including Christmas carolers, who appear in hospitals and mills. One of the most popular group activities among these U.S. Steel workers are the Good Fellowship Clubs, which are famous in their communities for their charitable work, especially at Christmas time, when they do a fine job helping children in less fortunate families. During the war, these groups of U.S. Steel workers did a fine job going over the top in their support of bond drives and Red Cross blood donor campaigns, and were very active in their support of community fund efforts. While all of these activities originate and are carried on by the workers themselves, the management of U.S. Steel is glad to cooperate in every possible way. For all of us know that group activities, both social and recreational, make us better citizens. Encouraging these group activities is another way in which the United States Steel Corporation does its best to do an ever better job for its workers, its stockholders, and the entire nation.
We pause now for station identification.
Your station is KECA, Los Angeles.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
And now the curtain rises on the second act of A Doll's House, starring Dorothy McGuire as Nora, Basil Rathbone as Helmer, and featuring Roland Winters as Krogstad, Ruth Madison as Christina, and Wesley Addy as Dr. Rank. It's the next morning at the Helmer's apartment. The master of the house lingers briefly over his breakfast while his wife attends to his needs.
More oatmeal, dear?
Oh, thank you.
Torvald Helmer takes a sip of cocoa.
Ah, cocoa's good. I'll just finish it. Man, I'll hurry off. Where did you put my briefcase?
Right there, on Ivor's chair.
Oh, yes, yes. So my little sweetheart likes my suggestion for the New Year's Eve ball.
You mean a tarantella costume? Oh, yes, it's fine, Torvald. Just the thing.
I thought so.
Perhaps this morning, while the children are still in the park, I can slip off to the store and buy one.
A very good idea. You didn't sleep very well, did you?
I was restless.
One time I woke up and saw you standing at the window.
I was looking at the river.
Well, whatever for?
I couldn't sleep.
My little lark will catch her death of cold with such nonsense.
Torvald?
Yes?
If I were to ask you something very prettily...
Well?
Would you do it?
I must know first what it is.
Your lark would sing from morning till night.
Oh, she does that in any case.
I'll be an elf and dance in the moonlight for you.
Nora, you aren't talking about what you were hinting at last night.
Yes, Torvald. I beg and
have you the
you.
Courage to begin that again?
Yes, yes, for my sake. You must let Krogstad keep his place at the bank.
My dear Nora, it is his place I intend for Christina.
Oh, and that's so good for you. But instead of Krogstad, couldn't you dismiss some other clerk?
This is incredible obstinacy. Because you thoughtlessly promised to put in a word for him. Am I to
it's
change my...
It's not that, Torvald. It's for your own sake. This man supplies information to journalists, to those terrible gossip writers.
I know, a sort of blackmail.
It's dreadful what they can do to a person once they set out to hurt him.
It happens that my record is unassailable.
Torvald, I beg you, I implore
You'll
you.
You'll make me angry, Nora. If it got around the bank that the new manager could be twisted around his wife's little finger, I'd soon close the result.
Besides, there's one thing about everything that makes it impossible for me to keep him.
What is it?
Well, having gone to school with me, you know, he calls me by my first name, and I can't tolerate a man in such a lowly position at the bank calling me Torvald.
Oh, you're not serious.
Why not?
Oh, that's so petty.
You consider me petty?
Oh, no, on the contrary, and that's just why...
Never mind. You call my motives petty, then I must be petty, too. It happens I wrote him a letter of dismissal last night. I have it here in my briefcase.
Then Torvald...
I wasn't certain that I would use it, but now I must. I will go now. I'll have the letter handed to him this morning.
Torvald, for my
sake... It's no use, Nora.
For my sake, for the children's
sake...
I'm
going now, Nora.
Do you hear, Torvald? Destroy that letter. You don't know what it may bring upon all
of us.
What
are you so afraid of?
Torvald, please.
Why should I fear that man's spite? But I forgive you, because it's proof of your great love for me.
Yes, of course.
Here, give me a kiss. Whatever happens, so be it. When the time comes, my shoulders are broad enough to bear the whole burden.
What do you mean by that?
The whole burden, I say.
That you shall never, never
do. Very well, then, very well. We'll share it. Now, don't look frightened. Tonight, when I come home, we can practice the tarantella for the ball, and I'll play for you. There, how's that?
Yes, Torvald.
Goodbye, my luck.
Goodbye.
Is there anything I can do for you around the house, Nora? Something with the children, perhaps?
Oh, the children are out with a woman who takes care of them. But there is something. You're so good with a needle, Christina.
Well, I've spent half my life mending and doing things over.
Well, here's an old Sicilian costume I bought long ago when we were in Italy.
It's lovely, so colorful.
And I thought I'd wear it to the New Year's Eve ball. Then I can dance the tarantella. I learned it in Italy.
Oh, what fun, Nora.
But we have to change the dress so Torvald won't know he's ever seen it before. You see, he gave me money to buy a new one. But I thought I'd save that and... Oh, dear, there I go again, deceiving.
Nora, I know why you're doing
this. Lies. I know what they can do. Maybe it would be better if I went away and never saw Torvald or the children again.
What do you mean? Nora, I've been thinking.
Yes.
Will Dr. Rank be dropping in this afternoon?
Well, he almost always does. Why?
I noticed he's something of a flatterer.
How so?
Well, he said last night he'd heard a lot about me, but your husband didn't seem to have ever heard me mention.
That's right. Torvald loves me so indescribably that he wants me all to himself. So, naturally, I never mention old friends to him. But I often talk to Dr. Rank about the old times and about almost everything else, too.
Nora, you are still a child in many ways. I tell you, you ought to get clear of the whole affair with Dr. Rank.
What affair?
Has he money?
Some, I suppose.
And no one to provide for?
No one, but...
And he comes here every day?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I should have thought he'd had better taste.
Why, I don't understand you.
Nora, don't you think I've guessed who lent you the money? You remember, you mentioned an admirer.
Are you out of your senses? You think that?
Then it's not he?
Oh, no. Why, I never would have thought of that. Dear... I suppose if I did speak to Dr. Rank...
Behind your husband's back?
This other thing is behind his back, too. I must get free of that.
Yes, yes, of course,
Tell me, when everything is paid, one gets back the paper...
Oh, yes.
...and can tear it into 100,000 pieces and burn the filthy thing?
Of course you can.
Christina, when Dr. Rank comes this afternoon, I will talk to him. Waiting for you, Dr. Rank, and so is your coffee.
Oh, wonderful.
Torvald isn't back from the bank yet, but...
What about you? You have a little time for me.
I always do. You know that.
And I shall avail myself of your kindness as long as I can.
What do you mean, as long as you can?
Does that frighten you?
Do you expect anything to happen?
Something I've been prepared for, but I didn't think it would come so soon.
What is it, Dr. Rank?
To put it bluntly, Nora, I am the most wretched of all my patients. I have been auditing the state of my health and find it bankrupt. I'm going downhill fast.
Oh, what a way to talk.
One thing I want to say. Helmer's fastidious nature shrinks from everything horrible. When the breakup comes, I don't want him in my sick room.
But, Doctor...
I won't have him, I say. I shall lock the door. When I know it has begun, I shall let only you know. I shall send you a visiting card with a black cross on it. That will be farewell.
Dr. Rank, being very unreasonable today.
Well, after all, the whole thing's only worth laughing at. My poor innocent spine must do penance for my father's wild oats.
I suppose he was too fond of truffles and oysters?
Oh, yes, and champagne and sparkling burgundy. No, Nora, when I sit here chatting with you, I simply can't imagine what would have become of me if I'd never entered this house.
I think you do feel at home with us.
And now to have to leave it all.
Nonsense. You shan't leave us.
And not to leave behind anything to remember me by. Only an empty place.
And if I were to ask for... Oh, no.
For what?
A great proof of your friendship.
Would you really make me so happy?
Well, you don't know what it is.
Well, then tell me.
Oh, no. No, it's far too much.
So much the better.
No, no.
Don't you trust me?
As I trust no one else. I know you are my truest, dearest friend.
It has sometimes seemed to me, Nora, that you like being with me almost as much as with Helma.
There are some people one loves and others one can talk to.
Well, there's something in that.
So I will tell you, Dr. Rank. You must help me prevent something. You know how deeply Torvald loves me. He would not hesitate a moment to give his very life for my sake.
You think he's the only one?
What do you mean?
Who would give his life for you?
Oh, Dr. Rank.
There. I have sworn that you shall know before I go. Yes, Nora. Now you know how I feel, so go on.
Go on? Now?
Won't you tell me what you want?
Oh, I can tell you nothing now.
How so?
It wasn't really anything, just my fancy.
Are you sure?
Yes, nothing. That's the back door. I'd better go. I think it's something I've got to attend to.
Yes, go ahead. I'll let myself out in a moment. I have some more business to attend to.
You'll be back for dinner.
I may. If not, I'll send you a message.
Oh, I'd better go. Goodbye, Dr. Rank.
Goodbye.
Mr. Krogstad?
Yes?
Oh, I'm sorry. I tried. I tried in every way I could.
All right.
You don't know how hard I tried. I begged Torvald. I implored him.
It doesn't matter.
Then why are you here?
I want to talk to you.
All right. Come inside.
Thank you.
Now, talk quietly, please. I'm not alone in the house.
Very well.
What is it you want?
Now that I've been dismissed, I want to tell you not to take the whole matter too seriously.
Oh, what do you mean?
If you've had desperate thoughts such as doing away with yourself, put them out of your head. People don't do that sort of thing. When the time comes, they don't have the courage. I didn't.
I don't think I would.
Perhaps everything will be much simpler than you think.
I don't understand.
I've written a letter to your husband. I brought it with me.
Telling him everything?
Fearing you as much as possible.
He must never read that letter. Never, never.
Oh, it won't be so bad. A stormy family scene, then reconciliation, and after that it can remain between the three of us.
I'll find the money somehow. I will at once. I'll pay off the loan.
Mrs. Helmer, even if you did, I would not give you back your contract. I need it now.
What do you mean? Are you going to blackmail us for even more money?
I want no money.
Then what do you want?
I told you, for the sake of my sons, I must regain my footing in the world. Your husband shall help me do it. I must get it back into the bank and in a higher position than before to restore me in the eyes of the world. Your husband shall create a place on purpose for me.
He will never do that.
He won't dare refuse. I know Torvald. I tell you before long, I will occupy a position of some dignity at the bank, even alongside your husband.
That will never be.
Oh, yes.
Now I have the courage for it.
Don't try to frighten me.
You shall see.
Under the ice, perhaps, down in the cold, black water.
You can't terrify me.
Besides, I would still have your husband in my pocket.
Afterwards?
The family name would still be in my hands, so after your husband reads my letter...
He must not read it. Tear it up. I'll get you more money. I will.
The letter has been delivered.
What do you mean?
I put it in your mailbox in your front hall before talking to you.
No.
And please remember, I never wanted to do this. It was your husband who forced me back into this sort of life. And that I shall never forgive him.
Nora, Christina.
Nora, what are you doing at that mailbox?
I've got to get it open. I've got to.
With a hairpin? You can't.
I've got to pick the lock. Torvald has the only key. There's a letter inside from Krogstad.
Krogstad? Is he the man?
Yes, Krogstad lent me the money, but it's worse than that. I forged a name.
Good heavens.
Now listen to me, Christina. If anything should happen to me, and If Torvald should try to take the blame on his own shoulders, remember, make it clear that I alone am to blame. I alone did it.
Nora, Nora, how you talk. It isn't too late. I shall go straight to Grogstad.
Oh, no, don't. He'll harm you.
He loved me once, and I loved him.
Christina.
When I married someone else, I think that first turned him into the wrong path.
I never knew.
And I have reason to think that even now he... But I shall go to him at once.
Nora!
Oh, here comes Torvald, home from the bank.
Krogstad must come here and ask for his letter back unopened.
Hello, Nora!
Torvald! Quick, then, and I'll keep Torvald from opening the box. Go quickly.
I will, as fast as I can.
Good evening, Christina. Where are you off to so
far? Just on an errand. I'll be back.
Well, well. She seemed in a hurry.
Oh, I'm so glad you're home, Torvald. Mm-hmm. And this evening, for once, you must not go straight to your study, but pay some attention to me.
And what has my little lark got up her sleeve? Now, wait till I see what letters we have.
Oh, no, Torvald. Don't you remember?
Remember what? Let go of my hand, Nora.
Torvald, this evening, for once, you must not think about business or letters. You promised to help me with the tarantella.
Of course.
Oh, I need your help. I tell you, I've forgotten the whole thing. You'll have to coach me, Torvald.
Anyway, we'll soon freshen it up again.
That's right. Come in now. Look, Torvald, I have a tambourine to go with my costume. Can't we rehearse at once? We have time before dinner. I won't be able to dance if I don't rehearse.
All right, then. Wait till I hang up my coat.
That's it. And then sit right down here at the piano.
All right.
And direct me just as you used to.
With all the pleasure in the world, if you wish it.
That's it. Now I'll begin. You remember how I learned this in Italy, Torvald?
Oh, yes.
You remember how you taught me?
Can I ever forget it?
Oh, weren't those wonderful days, Torvald?
Wonderful. How lovely you look, dancing like some forest nymph.
Watch me. Torvald, watch me.
But slower, Nora. Laura.
Oh, I can't do it slower.
But not so violently.
I must.
Nora, calm down.
I can't. Oh, Torvald.
Nora, my sweetheart, you're dancing so wildly. You're dancing as though your life depended on it.
It does.
Nora, stop this madness.
Oh, Torvald, remember, I love you.
What is the meaning of this? Stop. Stop.
Whatever happens, remember, all I've ever done has been for love of you. I love you, Torvald.
Nora. Nora, what's the matter? Oh, my little lark. You fainted. Here. My little bird, Nora. Here, let me pick you up. I'll carry you into our room and put you on our bed.
Torvald.
Here, this way. That's it. You'll be all right in a moment, my little one.
I'm all right.
There. Now, rest there.
I'm sorry I fainted.
Oh, my darling wife. Oh, let me hold you close. As I carried you in here just now, it seemed to me for a moment as though I were bringing you home for the first time as my bride.
Oh,
and as I watched you just now, swaying and whirling in the tarantella, my blood boiled. I could hardly endure it. Oh, my Nora. You know that I sometimes wish some danger might threaten you, that I might risk body and soul, everything for your sake.
Torvald.
Yes?
Do you mean that, Torvald?
Well, of course I do.
Torvald.
Yes?
They'll never get back in time.
What are you saying?
Go to the mailbox.
Well, what for?
There's a letter there for you.
What do you mean?
Go.
Oh, very well.
Now, the miracle. And then, 1 hour to live. Goodbye, Torvald. Goodbye, my little ones. Goodbye.
Why have you got your shawl on? You're not going out.
In a moment, yes.
But I thought... What's this? A card from Dr. Rank.
Oh, is there anything on it?
A black cross. What a horrid idea.
Then he must have put it there today as he went out. He knew already.
It looks as if he were announcing his own death.
He is.
What? Do you know anything?
Yes. That card is his goodbye.
Oh.
You must not go to him, Torvald. He doesn't want it. He intends to shut himself up for the end. Strange, isn't it? Just at this moment.
He has grown so into our lives that I can hardly believe... What's this?
What?
This letter here is from Krogstad. Does he still think that...
Read it, Torvald, read it, and then you'll know. Then you'll understand. Then you'll realize that I loved you more than...
Nora.
Yes?
Do you know what is in this letter?
I know. You remember when you were ill, Torvald, and we needed that money?
Is it true what he writes?
It is. I loved you beyond all else in the world.
No silly evasions.
Oh, let me go now, Torvald. Let me pass, please. You shall not save me. You must not take my guilt upon yourself.
Stop. I don't want any melodramatic airs. Do you understand what you've done? Answer. Do you understand?
I don't know.
Oh. Oh, what an awakening. All these years, a hypocrite, a liar, worse, a criminal. Oh, the hideousness of it. You've ruined my future. I'm in the power of a scoundrel. He can do whatever he pleases with me, demand whatever he chooses, and I must submit. And all this brought on me by a... by an unprincipled woman.
When I'm gone, you'll be free.
Oh, no fine phrases, please. What good would it do if you were gone, as you say? I can publish the story all the same. And for this, I have you to thank. You, whom I petted and spoiled you during our whole married life. Do you understand now what you've done?
Yes.
It's incredible. I can't grasp it. But we must come to an understanding. Take off that shawl. Take it off, I say.
Oh.
I must try to pacify him in one way or another. The secret must be kept, cost what it may. As for ourselves, we must live as we have always done, but of course only in the eyes of the world. From now on, there could be no question of happiness, but merely of saving the ruins, the shreds, the show of it. Of course, the children can't be left in your care. I dare trust them to you. I shall find someone who... What's this? Can this be more?
Christine.
Nora. And Mr. Helmer.
Good evening, Christina.
Nora, I'm sorry I couldn't come back sooner, but something very wonderful has happened.
What?
Krogstad and I are reconciled. I begged his forgiveness for the way I broke off with him years ago. It was all such a terrible mistake. And he's sure that with me, he can be a different man.
Oh, Christina.
He's waiting for me now. I must go back to him. And Nora, you have nothing to fear.
What's that?
Did he?
He sends you this letter.
Thank you,
here.
Christina.
And now, goodbye. Good luck to you, Nora.
Give me that. Nora. Yes. Yes, it's so. I'm saved. Nora, I'm saved.
And I?
You too, of course. We're both saved. Both of us. Look. Look, the contract. And he writes that he regrets and apologizes for the happy life. Happy turn in his life. What is it? Oh, yes. Now, what matter what he writes? Yes, we're saved. Now, let me see. Let me tear this thing to pieces so that the whole thing is nothing but a dream to me. Oh, Nora, my dear, the past few days must have been awful for you.
I have fought a hard fight.
But now it's over. Do you hear, Nora? You don't seem able to grasp it. Why this set look in your face? Come, come, Nora, I've forgiven you. I know you did it all for love of me.
That's true.
You love me as a wife should love her husband. It was only the means you misjudged. But do you think I love you any the less for your helplessness? No, no, Nora, only lean on me. I will counsel and guide you, for I have forgiven you, Nora. Oh, it's sweet to a man to say to his wife from the bottom of his heart, I have forgiven you.
I thank you for your forgiveness.
Where are you going?
Into the bedroom to pack.
Oh, what do you mean to pack?
That's right.
Nora. Nora.
I'm just packing a suitcase. That's all. I won't need much.
What are you talking about?
I will not sleep here again.
I don't understand.
That's just it. You have never understood.
What do you mean?
There. Another pair of shoes.
Nora. What does this mean?
Stockings. Nightgown.
Nora, please.
Torvald. Does it strike you strange that until this moment, during all the years of our marriage, we have never talked about anything serious?
My dear Nora, why should I burden you with serious things?
There you have it. I have had a great injustice done to me, Torvald. First by my father and then by you.
By us? Who loved you more than all the world?
You never loved me. You only thought it was amusing to be in love with me.
Oh, Nora, what a thing to say.
It's so, Torvald. While I was at home with Father, he used to tell me all his opinions, and I held the same opinions. If I had others, I concealed them, because he would not have liked it. He used to call me his doll child, and play with me as I played with my dolls. And then I came to live in your house.
What an expression to use about your marriage.
I mean, I passed from my father's hands into yours. You settled everything according to your tastes, and I got the same taste as you, or pretended to, I don't know which. When I look back on it now, I seem to have been living here by performing tricks for you, Torvald. But you would have it so.
How unreasonable and ungrateful. Haven't you been happy here?
No, never. I thought I was, but I never was.
Not happy?
Only merry. Our house has been a playroom. Here I've been your doll wife, just as at home I used to be Papa's doll child. And the children in their turn have been my dolls. I thought it was fun when you played with me, just as the children did when I played with them. That has been our marriage, Torvald.
There is some truth in what you say, exaggerated though it may be. It shall be different. Playtime is over. Now comes education.
Mine or the children?
Both, my dear Nora.
You can't teach me to be a fit wife for you, Torvald.
You say that?
And I? Am I fit to educate the children?
Nora!
Did you not say yourself you dare not trust them to me?
In the excitement of the moment.
But you were right. That problem is beyond me. There's another to be solved first. I must try to educate myself. And you are not the man to help me in that. I must set out about it alone. And that is why I'm leaving.
Nora, I can't believe that...
There, with these few dresses, I'll
You mean that to forget your duties to your husband and your children?
I have other duties equally sacred.
You are a wife and mother.
I am also a human being. As for the children, perhaps it's better that they learn things I never learned in my father's house.
No, I can't believe this. Do you no longer love me?
This evening came a moment when I expected a miracle. And the miracle did not happen. Oh, yes. I believe that you would take everything on yourself and say, I am the guilty one.
Nora, no man sacrifices his honor, even for the one he loves.
Millions of women have done
so. You talk like a child.
Very likely. But you do not talk like the man I can share my life with. Torvald, it has just dawned on me that I have lived for years with a strange man and have borne him 3 children. Goodbye, Torvald.
Nora.
You can't stop me, Torvald. I'm going.
Nora, come back.
Tomorrow I'll make arrangements about the children.
Nora, please.
I will not sleep in this house again.
Nora, come back.
No, it's finished, Torvald.
Nora.
The doll's house is broken. It can't be mended.
Nora.
Goodbye.
Nora.
Goodbye.
The Theater Guild on the Air production of A Doll's House, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation, starred Dorothy McGuire as Nora, Basil Rathbone as Helmer. Other members of our cast included Roland Winters as Krogstad, Ruth Madison as Christina, and Wesley Addy as Dr. Rank. And now, here is George Hicks again, followed by Dorothy McGuire, who will introduce our special feature, the singing of the Homestead Steelworks Male Chorus.
During the past few months, I've spoken many times of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel. And I've told you a little about the members of the family, and the many jobs they do, the services they render. But tonight is unusual, because I have the opportunity to bring you the voices of some of the members of the family. On the stage here with me are the men who make up the male chorus of the Homestead Steelworks here in Pittsburgh. The chorus was formed 12 years ago as a part of the recreational activities I spoke about, and since then they've won many regional and national awards. The original members are still singing with the group, some even after their retirement from steelmaking. Altogether, the members of the Homestead Male Chorus have had over 780 years' experience in steelmaking, an average of 20 years for each. And now here is Dorothy McGuire to introduce the men to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure for me to appear here in Pittsburgh to play Nora. And while we've been here, we've been greatly honored to enjoy the male chorus of the Homestead Steelworks. I'm sure you will, too. And now, here they are singing the Winter Song by Boulard.
Past a pipe, past a hole, oh, a song by the fire, with a stove, with a stove, oh, a song by the fire, past a fire, with a stove. For the wolf is waiting at the doorway, and the mountain people on the road, and the ice comes marching from the Norway, and the gray white fall.
Guild on the Air brings you the Pulitzer Prize play Men and Wife by Sidney Kingsley. Starred are Burgess Meredith and Marcia Hunt. Be sure to be with us when the Theatre Guild on the Air brings you the exciting drama of a great hospital, Men in White.
Remember, next week, Men in White by Sidney Kingsley, starring Burgess Meredith and Marcia Hunt. And remember, too, that the trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. The Theatre Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Teresa Helburn and Lawrence Langner, with Homer Fickett, director, Carol Urban, production executive, and Imina Marshall, executive director of the radio department. Music was composed and conducted by Harold Levy, and the play was adapted by Eric Barnwell. Dorothy McGuire appears through the courtesy of David O. Selznick, producer of the Technicolor production, Duel in the Sun. Your announcer, Norman Brokenshire. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next Sunday at the same time. American Broadcasting Company.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.